45 years in keeping Louisville weird, Electric Ladyland has been there for all your eccentricities. While they do offer the best smoking supplies out on the market today, there's a whole lot more to check out. From ashtrays and blacklight posters, to records, incense and burners, and items to stock your metaphysical supply. They're open from 10 to 10, 7 days a week. Located at 2325 Bardstown Road in Louisville, Kentucky, and at electricladyland420.com. Roll out. Hey, metalheads, you like tattoos? Of course you do. If you're in the Louisville, Kentucky area, come on over the bridge to Clarksville, Indiana, and get you some ink done at Ageless Art. If ink isn't your thing, they have a piercing studio as well. Visit agelessartclarksville.com to see some frequently asked questions, meet the staff. The shop is open Monday through Thursday, 12 to 8 p.m., Saturdays, 12 to 10 p.m., and Sundays, 12 to 6 p.m., all appointment-only spots. You can set up your appointments by phone at 812-283-1793 or email agelessarttattooandpiercing@gmail.com and someone will get you set up for your first or your next tattoo or piercing. Hey, metalheads. After going to a rager, what's your ultimate go-to? Mine is Totally Pizza. So when Overload is playing, or I'm promoting the Metal Forge live showcases, or the big goddamn metal show, I go to Pizza Donisi. Pizza Donisi is gourmet artisan pizza from right here in Louisville, Kentucky. It features things like the pizza of the month, the sandwiches, and also vegetarian and vegan options, which is so totally fucking cool for all of it's awesome pizza. You definitely want to go. Hey, and also from time to time they do cannolis. Oh, so fucking good. You know what they said, man? Leave the gun, take the cannoli. Yeah. Just like that in Godfather. They're located right next to the Mag Bar at 1396 South 2nd Street. So either stop in or call in at 502-213-0488. They're open till midnight. The witching hour.
Heineken! Fuck that shit! Pabst Blue Ribbon!
Hey metalheads, you all hear me talk about Mag Bar all the time. It is the home to the Metal Forge Live showcases and is an integral stop in the ultimate underground metal tour schedule. They obviously feature live music, but the Mag Bar also has daily specials like Pint and Slice Night on Tuesdays with Pizza Donisi. But they also do Bring Your Own Vinyl on Thursdays with DJ Kent Jackson. And finer things Sundays. Located right next to Pizza Donisi at 1398 South 2nd Street. Open 3 p.m. to 4 a.m. 7 days a week. Get your asses out to the Mag Bar. Rock out.
In a broken wasteland, I come to my fire. I place your blood and steel upon my pyre. Oh, this is the Metal Forge. 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 Metal Forge. My furnace starts to glow with crimson coal.
What's going on, metalheads? Thank you all for tuning in to this week's episode of the Metal Forge. My name is Mark Jackson, and I am your host. Holy shit, what an amazing week it is. Wow. Dudes, everybody, oh my gosh, it's been amazing. Thank you all, seriously, for everything that you do. This is actually my second go of the monologue. We did have another one that was kind of a snake bit little deal, but anyway, why talk about that? There's nothing really to talk about there. So this week's guest is Denver's own Viper Witch, and I have Lynx the Huntress in the studio. Well, not really in the studio, on Zoom, as you're about to switch over to and see here in a few. And then I also have Jason in the band as well. So, Viper Witch, totally rad, fucking awesome band. There was a part of the interview that unfortunately did get cut, but going into this, they did not have a Metal Archives page because for some reason, it was some stupid thing. Like, they had to reform and they were taken off because they were considered inactive, and that was before they changed some rules or something. Because I tried to submit them on there, and it's like, dudes, they have a fucking Bandcamp, and they have fucking, like, music and shit, right? But no, they apparently didn't think that it was worth it or anything, and it's like, fucking what the hell? But no, we're gonna check in with them. It's awesome stuff. Yeah, so looking forward to some albums. I'm actually promoting a show with Magbar on April the 26th. So if you're in the Louisville area, come out and see it. It is my 41st birthday, and it is Tombstoner's album release. And also on that show is Indianapolis death metal Flesher and Kentucky death metal Sinistrum. You might remember Sinistrum being back on the show here a while back, maybe December of the year before last. I don't know. I have to go through the archives and look, and I have a hard time remembering that stuff. So anyway, but yeah, so that's my 41st birthday. It's Friday, April 26th at Magbar in Louisville, Kentucky. Come out and shoot the shit. Say hello. Fucking, if you're in the area, if you listen to this show and you are in the area, come out to it. It's fucking rad times. Awesome fucking stuff. But anyways, let's go ahead and get into the fucking awesome fucking band, Viper Witch. This is The Huntress. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, metalheads, we are being joined today with a couple of members of Viper Witch. Who do we have here today? Explain to everybody. Tell them who you are.
You go first. I always go first. You go first.
Okay, ladies first.
I'm used to you going first.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I get that.
I'm Jason. I play bass and produce and do some of the vocals, both on studio recordings and live. I have been with the band for what now? 4.5 years?
No,
something like
five.
That? 5 years? Originally came on as just the producer, and then there was a hole needed on bass, and I just kind of stepped in, and then
there was a hole needed on bass, like
a hole in our hearts,
an asshole needed on bass.
Hole that needed filling. Sorry, I just spent 10 hours working today. My brain is a little fried.
No, dude, but I'm giving you shit already. See, that's what we do around here. No, totally.
He can take it.
I'm used to giving myself shit. So.
Hey.
Self-deprecating humor.
Right? And that's, I mean, sometimes they say you're not supposed to do that. But, I mean, hey, sometimes it's like, what is it if you can't pick on yourself or some shit? What? I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Maybe I'm confusing that with, you know, like you can't pick your friends, or you could pick your friends and you could pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose. That's what it is.
That's also
just unhygienic.
Right. Yeah. And especially now, because you don't want to get extra sickness or any shit like that. And see, this is the way we do this around here. This is just fucked up shit where we just bullshit and talk and fucking be goofy ass fucking metalheads. So continue as I interrupted here. You filled the hole on bass.
And yeah, I don't know. I didn't want to stop playing, and she didn't want to go find somebody else to do it. So I just kind of stayed on, and I have been having the time of my life. I'm really thankful to be a part of this and doing the fun things.
So at this point, have you basically been considered an original member?
That's her call.
Yeah. So according to Dom, our last bassist, they were really, really close friends. So Dom basically handed off the torch, showed him everything. And at this point is like, yeah, bro. You're one of us.
Okay. So, yeah. And you know, being there with production as well, that's the other part of it. You know, yeah. If he was already there and he knew everything from the production aspect, I'm saying this he as in I'm, as we're not, you know, we're on video, but I should be also considering the audio for this as well.
That might be important. I don't know.
Pronouns, pal. Jason, you know, has filled the hole. But being there for the production of everything, you know, you kind of are another member of the band.
Yeah.
In a way, yeah. I mean, in order to learn how to produce the band, you really have to understand a lot of the ins and outs of the music and how it's working and the dynamics you're trying to achieve, especially when it comes time to lay it down in the studio. So. Absolutely. I mean, there was definitely a lot of prior knowledge stepping in. I'm not going to deny that.
Well, for sure, and you know that's how we did it when our original drummer left. That was, and the second drummer stepped in. He was already a production in the studio. So, but as we've like really went into this, please introduce yourself.
We never
got to you yet.
That's okay. You don't have to. We can skip over the section now.
No.
You're a little important.
Yeah, between
him
and Jacob, I mean, they do way more than what he's putting on, but we'll get into that a little bit later. So I'm Danica. I go by Lynx the Huntress. It's my, I don't know, it's like alter ego. Yeah, it's an alter ego.
Nom de plume, stage name.
Stage name. It originally came on, I was, over 8 years ago when I started writing all this stuff for Viper Witch, which is now Viper Witch. I was in a really cool all-female band, but we were hair metal, and we were called Stray Pussy. And my friend Sarah, who is essentially the leader was like, yo, we got to come up with cool names. So my ended up being Lynx the Huntress, because if you ever heard a lynx yell, it's really fucking loud and screechy and annoying, and I thought it was just perfect. So we just kind of went with that for this whole time. But I am the primary songwriter. I am a lead guitarist and the lead vocalist. I also do a lot of the production and a lot of the recording, mixing, mastering, and a lot of the synth work in our album as well. And obviously all the writing for like the storylines and for our comic book. I'm a big comic book person in general. I don't know if you can see behind us, but there's like, I'm a huge Red Sonja fan since I was a kid. So right. I've got, you know, 1970, like first editions all over the walls.
Nice. Yeah, they're not in the frame, but I know what you got going on. Video exclusive. Hell yeah. And I thought I was cool by putting a Skeletor behind me over here.
Cool. I just, you know, I've been collecting these since I was a kid, thanks to my dad. So, you know, it's just over time between that and like Conan and, you know, the Spawn series with like Angela, like it's just, you know, how you get it. Everybody gets
absolutely.
It.
Yeah, I actually have a graded Spawn 8.
Yeah.
Or am I 8 or 9? Bad. Angela's first appearance. I actually have a graded copy, so that I actually picked up from a place and had graded, rather than picking up somebody else's pre-slabbed book. But yeah, what's that?
For way too much money, because yes, they had it.
Exactly. Where no, you could find them all, you could. Which I've always thought was interesting. You know how they determined that, and now any of those books cannot be reprinted in any of the omnibus or anything because of the lawsuit. But that's like a Mudhorn episode that we need to talk about, because
yeah, we can do that later. Literally, we could just set it up.
Yeah, the Mudhorn is like the complete nerd version of Jason's Alehorn and the Metal Forge. Because it's like we talk about Masters of the Universe, movies. We do double features over the last year where we picked two stupid fucking movies. Like, one he picked was some fucking movie with Dolph Lundgren where he was an ex-operative who is a fucking drummer in, like, this weird-ass fucking band.
Okay.
It was in 2010, but it was such a, and he played the drums. He actually is a drummer, but it's such a fucking awful fucking film. And oh my God, I recommend it to everybody. It's Samurai Cop good.
Oh God. Well, remember, cause Samurai Cop was pseudo a part of the trauma films.
No, canon.
Canon. And eventually they did one with Toxic Avenger and Samurai Cop. And it was called Toxie something. I can't remember.
I'm not sure on that. I'll have to look that up. That's fucking awesome. Check it out. So tell everybody in Metal Forge land about Viper Witch. Where did you start? I hate this where did you start questions. Because you kind of just did tell me where you started. In the 80s... Stray Pussy Band. That's a fucking, I'm sorry, that's a great fucking name. I'm not going to apologize for it, and nobody should. Because if you can have fucking bands out there like fucking that fucking band I hate. They were on fucking America's Got Talent. After they were a band for like 20 fucking years.
Still Panther, right?
Band. I'm sorry, I can't fucking stand them, but like, sorry, not sorry, I guess. This is, it's just how it is. But like, you know, I mean, but that's a great name, for sure. When did Viper Witch, when did everything turn to like Viper Witch, though?
So we did the hair metal thing, and then, I don't know, I got a little burned down on it. I was using riffs I literally had written for a band I was in when I was in the seventh grade, middle school, also an all-girl project. We were doing a little bit more punk back then. And I kind of repurposed some of those riffs for the hair metal. And eventually I started getting burned out because then I started writing, a little bit more like traditional heavy metal. At the time, I was taking guitar lessons from a phenomenal musician named Evan Knight. Evan Knight is in a band called, a black metal band called Achilles. He's also in Sons of Sorath and a couple others, but he's a drummer, but he's a phenomenal guitarist. And at the time I was taking more like advanced guitar lessons, you know, obviously advancing my skills and things like that. And we were listening to a lot of Skullfist. And so I started kind of shifting a little bit more that way, because that's really where my heart is a lot of the traditional 80s heavy metal. Well, not 80s in particular, but, you know, like Rainbow, Dio, Judas Priest, and then obviously more into speed metal realms. But so I started kind of writing a little bit more like that. And then my friend Sarah and I were like, let's try doing that. So we eventually got that together and we were called Saxon Killer. And that's when we started kind of writing everything. And that's where She Wolves really started taking shape. That's our big single. Sarah and I basically came up with it. She came up with some of the core, actually most of the chorus. If you remember back in like the 90s, TNT had those dirty late night movies.
Yeah, and there absolutely.
Was one called, yes, it was called Shables of the Wasteland. And Sarah was a movie buff. This girl is probably really intelligent and a big movie buff, as well as like a Trekkie. And so, you know, we'd sit there and watch these goofy ass movies, remembering our childhoods and being like, let's write shit for this. So yeah, that's how that came around. I started writing the riffs for it. We started kind of putting it together. And as time progressed, you know, everybody did different things. And then I started really, really focusing on writing a little bit more complex and needing other members for the band. So yeah, we just started building. And as of like about 2017, 2018 is when the first lineup all got together. Really great musicians. We had a lot of fun. We did a lot of really cool shit. We got to play for Dokken. Enforcer came through with Warbringer. I think the biggest accomplishment was we got into the Vakken battles. We went down to Arizona. For anybody that's played Arizona, Joe's Grotto, the people there were so
love
amazing.
That place.
I did not think, I thought we were going to go down there and get like jumped. Like I thought people were going to hate us.
No, that place, when people show up, man, it's great. They're fucking into it.
Yeah.
I've been there. When did what time of year did you play that?
So I think that was about 2019, the spring of 2019.
Spring. Okay. Oh my God. We played in fucking August.
Oh
yeah. August. Yeah. It was August the fucking 10th that I know that date was there, and fucking it was, I remember it well. Because my drummer and guitar player almost threw each other off a fucking mountainside, pissed at each other, and the band van overheated going up the mountain because we got to Phoenix at like noon, so we had to kill like fucking like 5 hours to load in.
Jesus.
And we're from fucking Indiana and fucking so it's like what the fuck. Yep. And I've been to Arizona.
Desert heat is different.
Yeah, and I've been there, so I know what it's like. And these two, oh my fucking God, everybody was under each other's skin at that point, because it's like 4 days in at that point, and we're just like, fuck you, okay, get the fuck away from me. And fucking but yeah, it was 125 in the heat of the day. And when we were driving to LA that night, it was still 117.
It just doesn't
midnight.
Cool down. Well,
it's like, fuck. But yeah. No. So hell yeah. That's some awesome fucking shit where you just started building to something. And you know, with being in, I'm sorry.
Oh, we were just putting the work in, and any opportunity that came our way, we were like, yes, do it. Let's do it. Yeah. I don't care how much it costs. We're just going to do it. So.
Well, and I think you have to be that way because, you know, if you don't take the risks, then what's the point of actually being able to say, you know, I had that opportunity. He was, no, you could have fucking done something, you know. It's no time like the fucking present, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of times people don't understand that the universe offers a lot of windows for you. And if you're not looking ahead right in front of you, you'll miss it. And a lot of people were like, wow, we just don't have money. We don't have that. But there are ways. If there's a will, there's a way. And if you love doing what you're doing, you're going to make sure that fucking happens. And you're going to make sure everybody around you is also all in and that you're supporting each other. Like, hey, you can't do this. I got you. Like, I will go put my other fucking 4 guitars in pawn. I'll make sure I got the money for you. Don't even worry about paying me back. We'll work on this fucking together. And I think...
I'm going to call bullshit on one thing. I'm not pawning a fucking guitar for nobody. I'm sorry. I did that one time. And I lost it because I couldn't afford to make the payments back. And they weren't there to help me.
Nope. Yeah.
They were there to make that money.
So I will not ever... do that again. If I'm pawning any fucking gear, it's because of me. It's like, my band needs shirts. I better pawn this head I don't use.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, that's fair. If it's for the band, you know, the gear was for the band. The money from the gear is still for the band.
That, yeah, exactly. You know, yeah. So it's give and take at that point. And I think that's what a lot of people don't really get is, like, you know, there is a lot of give and there is a lot of take. And as you said, you know, if you want to do something, you'll find a way to do it. One of the best pieces of knowledge that was ever instilled upon me from an ex was I always used to sit there and say, you know, if I had a better camera, I would try to make films and shit like that. And she had told me, it was just like, you know, that's bullshit, because even if you have a shitty fucking VHS camcorder, you can at least try to do something. Because don't let the technology limit you for what you can afford at the time. And I think that's a huge thing that people don't get, as, you know, not understanding that, like, you know, go back to the bare basics of fucking, like, stage design.
Yeah.
You know, make a fucking stage show. Fucking don't just fucking play on, you know, fucking 5 people on the fucking stage just standing there. Create something. Fucking make people want to come fucking see you. And I think, you know, with, you know, even like looking at your all's website, you know, it makes me want to come see you all, because it's fucking, you know, you've got the fucking neon colors and the fucking clouds and the fucking, like, the fucking, the, like, the almost eclipse-like looking.
Thank you. The
cornea burst or whatever. And with the fucking logo on top of that, which is that a Pitforge logo?
So a lot of the stuff we do tends to be a break, you know, my brainchild. And then because we're friends and we all like the same things, it spreads out. So a lot of the things that we do at this point now that we've got people a part of it is a community effort. As per Pitforge, I mean, that was a photo specifically chosen by a friend we used to work with. And she was just like, great, I love this. And I was like, cool, we're in.
Dude, I love fucking Daniel's. I love Daniel's work, though, on his logos and shit. He does shit for everybody. Fucking Glyph, Wild Ride. I mean, he hasn't done one for me yet, but, like, I'm just like, maybe. Hang on.
Some beer and be like, hey, buddy.
Yeah, I am. I am gonna get a shirt design from him, though. I did promise him that for sure, so...
Yeah, we get to work with a lot of really amazing artists.
We really do.
There's Apocalyptic Nuke and Diego Garza.
Okay.
Down in Texas, who's in Hell Fury. Amazing guy. He was there from literally the beginning of Viper Witch, and did our original logos. He also did the She-Wolves of the Wasteland artwork. I basically told him what I wanted and got it on paper. But yeah, it's one of those things. A lot of artists are very, very busy, and you got to make sure you got the money for them.
Because, well,
you know,
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is, you know, we're all in it together. We're all counterproducing for each other. You know, yeah. Where, you know, whether it's album artwork, logos, whatever, you know, just even layouts, shirt designs, whatever, even, you know, as you mentioned earlier, comics and stuff like that, you know, as I'm holding up my Masters of the Universe mini comic here, that was just on my desk. So yeah. And even into the small time printers and stuff, it doesn't always, you know, you don't always set up a fucking big, not a big cartel, but you know, like a cafe press or a threadless shop, because feasibly, you know, those are fucking dead end fucking things. You're making $3 off of a $30 shirt, you know, or somebody.
Yeah, we found that out with our website through the merch designer. I spent about 80 hours designing all this merch. And by the time we got it onto the website, it was like, you're going to make $4. And I was like, cool. Well, we obviously really love this because I wanted to make sure everybody was happy and included different sizes, different styles. But it's like, yeah, you're not making shit off of that, it is what it is. So right. You have to go to other avenues.
And where I do think that has its place, you know, I was talking with some members of my other band, Ice Howl. And we were talking at practice this last weekend about that. And I was like, you know, it's a really cool concept to have like a special order only shop to where it's like only online designs that you can, you know, you can pay, like you could just scan the barcode and go to it and order it and it ships direct. Yep. That's a cool concept to have along with stuff that's there.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we did. We went on to Bandcamp. I designed the shirts, and I don't think anybody knows this, but unless you listen to this podcast, you will not know the secret. So a lot of the shirts that I designed, I actually threw writing on the back. So everybody thinks they're just getting a cool logo, like album art on the front, but actually I put some shit on the back. So anybody get your shirts, it's going to be a nice surprise. But it's limited edition, and it is a drop ship. And nice. Yeah, we're keeping it that way. Versus, you know, the website. So and doing that just gives more options and makes it a little bit more exclusive for you. So, yeah, it works.
Yeah, and
it works.
Then we have, like, merch that you can only get if you come see us at a show. Yep. Because, you know, we only have it in the merch bin. And
yes, exactly.
You know, yes, see
it. Exactly. And I think that's what one of the things that I think is better suited now, and a lot more people I think are doing it, and I think it's really cool, where you might either have like a fan club merch only, you know, mm-hmm. and you would then have like special secret menu items, you know. I think that is awesome. You know, it's like, go to, say, I'm going to throw him out there because he's a merch guy, Andrew from Metal Assault. You just sit there, what's the password for the show? And get a free, or not a free, but a, you know, a secret merch item or some shit.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Oh, Andrew, by the way. Yeah, we met him out in L.A. We won the two rounds in Arizona. I have no idea how, but then we got to play the Viper Room, and that's, Andrew was hosting that round there. Yeah, that's where I met him. Amazing.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
Having those little items, because, you know, for a lot of us metalheads, it's like owning the, like, you know, Triumph and Al... my fucking brain is fried from today. Triumph and Agony Warlock tour shirt. You know what I mean? It's like, man, I've got this one fucking tour shirt. They only did, you know, these many dates, and they'll never print it again. So we're trying to, as a community, you know, talking to all these other bands about doing that, like having specific shirts for very specific shows or festivals or, you know, tour runs or just online. Like, if you're a part of the fan club, you get this specific design or this artwork, just so it's more feels like we're collecting things again, collecting special vinyl prints and things like that.
And that's a big deal. And the vinyl print deal is insane. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I wish I had enough disposable income to buy a variant of every color. Because for the bands that, for the bands that I really love, and there's a lot of them, I would be in the poorhouse, like, seriously, because, like, I love the variant stuff. I love gold variant. So I'm, like, definitely a Red Dragon when it comes to that shit. I love the gold horde. So, like, if a vinyl has a gold variant, I'm probably going to get it.
You're going to pawn your gear. Absolutely. And you're going
to... No, I won't pawn the gear for the gold variant.
Pawn your gear,
but, like,
do it!
I might borrow some money from Dave, who is not a sponsor of this show, but probably should be at this point.
Hey, Dave.
So when is
dropped.
What's that?
Oh, I was kidding around. I said new gold vinyl just dropped.
Yeah, right. You know, and I love the vinyl thing because where it's come back. Because I remember, you know, being a kid sitting in front of the entertainment center with a stereo that the belt or the motor quit on. So it didn't play vinyl anymore, but it was still sitting there in the living room. And it was kind of like a catch-all cabinet.
Yeah.
You know, there was shit that they would put, that my parents had put in there that, like, okay, it's like, that we'll leave that in there because nothing's going to happen to it. And then it'll be like the fucking, you know, the glass fucking bottles and shit that fucking look cool that in the 80s.
All dusty as fuck, but it's amazing. You don't want to touch anything?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that was a thing. And then, like, seeing, like, Willie and family, right? In the fucking, in the floor. So to be able to be, like, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old and doing that, and now being in my 40s doing that is still pretty cool. Especially with, like, the resurgence vinyl in bands that had vinyl back in the day that got a re-release now.
Yeah, Lady Beast just did theirs. I got pants. Y'all gonna have to.
Oh yeah, Lady Beast. They announced that they were doing Lady Beast 2 also.
They just dropped theirs, and then I just got my hands on Four Less just dropped theirs. I have to show you it. So I just got this bad boy. But the cool thing is it's that. But, like,
oh, that's gorgeous! Yeah.
Yeah, and it's see through. I think. Hold your face.
Slightly.
Yeah, we just got these, and, you know, we're trying to cook up as much
here. Let me block your face out.
I think it's see through. Can you still see him?
Yeah, as I put my finger.
That reminds me of that reminds me of Home Improvement when they're the soundproof booth and he's fucking with Al.
Yes.
I love that.
Howdy, neighbor.
Yes, exactly, exactly that too. So the album. Are we having a 2024 release of this?
Absolutely, yes.
Can are we going to break some news today?
Maybe.
That's entirely.
If you bat your eyes at Jay just enough, then yes.
Well, so it's, okay. So I can't get this. I can't get the good angle. I that's the reason why I'm not in adult films, because I can't get the good angle.
Whatever. It's all inclusive.
That's fair.
He agrees, and you're like, hey, no, it's all good. No.
I can understand where you're coming from. So, yeah, I mean, we just dropped 2 new singles from the album. We dropped the album version of She-Wolves.
And the interlude.
And the interlude that follows it on the album, because we're doing a lot of that type of stuff, so we figured we'd introduce a little bit of that before.
Just get everybody prepared and ready, because...
Yeah. A little bit of everything that's coming down the pipeline. Yeah. And then we have another one coming out this month, and then another one coming out next month, and then...
Yeah, so...
Do you want to talk about...
Okay. So May 1st, we're actually dropping the album. Full album, top to bottom, not half of it, but the whole thing. Yeah, we just wanted to, because this album's taken so long, so with him engineering, I wanted to learn to engineer as well. That's a big thing for me. So we've spent about 3-4 years just learning on my end too, learning how to record, mix, and master and things like that. as well as write synth pieces, ambient pieces, dialogue, because this is a concept album, hence the comic book. I started writing this concept album over 8 years ago, so it's great to see, like, oh my God, it's coming together. Holy shit, this is a real thing. But yeah, so we'll be dropping that May 1st, right before we go to Legions of Metal out in Chicago.
Yeah.
But we do have one more single. We're Hellbound. We're dropping that February 25th, and then The Huntress March 22nd. And then, yeah, a little bit of a wait. But we did want to just kind of leave some singles leading up to it, little breadcrumbs, just because our family, our friends, our fans, everybody's just been waiting for so long. Are they gonna fucking do this? I don't know. So we just wanted to give a little bit to be like, hey, it's here. Thank you
for your incredible patience. Yeah, here's some tastes.
Yeah.
So Legions will be the technically release show then, kinda.
Yes.
In a way, yeah.
Wow.
It'll be really cool. You know, it'll be our first time getting out to Chicago.
We just wanted to celebrate it that way.
It's gonna be fun. You know, we were really just looking to have a good time and play the tunes and talk about the album, and we figure why not release it right as we're getting out there and really just have a big old party for it, you know?
Because a lot of friends will be flying in. You know, I could go on a laundry list, but so many people are flying in from all over the U.S., and it's just a really great place to do it. I mean, we were given this opportunity.
You know, I'll say this, too, that you all have never been to Chicago. Believe it or not, even living in the Louisville area, I've never played Chicago. You know, I've played in Illinois and shit like that, but not, you know, I think Chicago, the closest I've played was like 70 miles south of Chicago, but you know,
it happens,
you know, things happen for a reason. And I am, you know, knowing this now, that I am super fucking stoked to share the Legion stage with you guys. So fucking, that's going to be awesome. Yeah, so when are you all playing at Legions? What day?
Saturday?
The 4th?
I don't know
if that's Saturday, but I know it's the
4th. That is. Yes, that is the 4th, and I know that is when Ice Howl is playing as well, is that Saturday. I don't have the exact lineup right now, but I know on episodes before and after this, there'll be some definite fucking mentions of the Legions of Metal deal. And so many fucking awesome bands already are on that. You know, I am so excited to see Dawnbringer.
Yeah. Leather Duchess from LA. Holy shit. Owlbear, like Stryker from Canada. They're doing a whole synth, amazing synth wave for their album. Like, it's just, I don't know how Bob and them did it.
I mean, Hyrax, even. You know, I'm friends with Catan on the Facebooks, and we talk a little bit through Messenger, and it's going to be awesome that, you know, get to share the stage with them. I've always been a fucking a Hyrax fan since Raging Fucking Violence. Of course, Watchtower and Unleash the Archers, fucking holy shit there. Christian Larson's band Night Cobra, they're going to be there. Mourn the Light, who we just had a split with. So fuck yeah, Displacer, who was just recently on the Metal Forge as well, they're going to be there. So I'm really looking forward to this. This is so fucking rad. I've wanted to play for the last few years, and Randy, I appreciate him. Randy up in Wisconsin, he zinged me for he's like, I bet Mark's excited to play the festival, to Bob, and I was like, yes, I am. God damn it.
God damn right.
God damn right. That's a And you know, and it's cool because there are so many awesome independent metal festivals that are going on right now. There's Legions on their sixth year. There's Hell's Heroes in their sixth year. You had Randy's Festivals and now Blades, who is this is their fourth year, I believe. And, you know, just so many fucking awesome ones going on. Frozen in Time out in Fresno and 2 Minutes to Tulsa. You know, that yes. Those are some really cool fucking shows. Steel and Stone from, that's their eighth year this year, you know, in Asheville at the Odd. So that's fucking awesome stuff. And I'm really looking to see, to go to more of these. Not just to play, exactly, just to go.
Just to go, exactly. I mean, it's what Europe was doing for so long. And because, you know, touring the United States is very expensive. It's a big fucking goddamn wasteland. Like, I mean, just to get from one state to another, it's like fucking 14 hours. So, especially out here in the West. Not right. The East Coast, but out here in the West, it's rough for us. So being able to have these festivals, it's amazing.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because, like, coming through the West is, like, unless you're going through, like, Texas and stuff, and going out through Texas and Arizona, New Mexico, and in Southern California, yes. It really feels like the tour route for you all is, like, Vancouver, Seattle, Portland, maybe Bend, Boise, Salt Lake, and then Denver or some shit.
Scooping down from the north. Yeah,
exactly. It really feels like that's the... It's like going through Texas and then doing that, like, backwards J through there. And you're right. You know, when you're driving fucking 14 fucking hours between fucking venues, because that's going through the fucking mountains and shit, that's insane.
Brutal. And it depends on the time of year. So I'm from the mountains. I've lived in the mountains for a very long time. And I-70, the main, one of the main highways getting, you know, from east to west,
mm-hmm.
it could be fucking June and it's snowing, you know, and you've got really heavy, wet, dead snow that after 4 p.m. is dropping below 32 degrees, which obviously is freezing temperature. So sure. They will close down I-70. So it's sketchy. So you do have to... Unfortunately, I've known bands that still cut through that corridor, or, you know, even more south. It is better to just kind of either go up or down.
Right.
You can't, cutting straight through the mountains is just, it's dangerous.
Better to avoid it.
It's a yeah,
you, there's no beautiful, reason you need tough. To go, there is, unless you're, like, done with your tour and you're just sightseeing, there is no reason you need to tour through Loveland Pass.
No, not at all. Don't do it.
I mean...
Your life.
Unless you want to ride.
Especially in the winter, it's not worth your life. You know, we were through there in August one year, and even in August, it looked like a fucking snow village. and there, it was just like misty and fucking like, I wanted a hot chocolate or some shit. I was like, oh, goddamn, I'm kind of cold, and it's fucking like 90 degrees outside.
Misty and some hot chocolate, yep.
Yeah. I always said that if I ever wanted to move out to Colorado, I know a bunch of people that live in between Denver and Colorado Springs, but I think I would probably end up going to like Grand Junction.
Yeah, there's a couple really killer like venues out there, lots mm-hmm. of bands. It is a really great place to post up at, but you know, Colorado's really expensive right now. It's literally like Californication, whatever the hell you call it. Calified?
Yeah, it's following the
Colorado.
Yeah, it's because of the the mile high. So I want to go ahead and switch over here to some derailed questions. These are all about you all as people. These they go from anywhere. They come from anywhere. They come from various interview decks and stuff like that. So. Pretty much anything's on the docket.
Yeah, we can talk about everything forever. Like literally, we won't stop.
So can confirm.
Do you bake your own bread?
Yes.
Really?
So, I'm actually, this is fun. Not a lot of people know this about me. I'm actually a sushi chef. But before that, I was just chef doing all kinds of other stuff. So, yeah, I can make my own bread. But the sad thing is that we are glutards. I'm literally allergic. I am, like, allergic to fucking wheat flour. So
right.
One of my best friends is.
I get it.
Yeah, so you have to use, like, alternative flours. And honestly, it just doesn't. Because there is no gluten, there is no enzymes to kind of eat the yeast to kind of puff up. Like, it's really, really difficult to do that. So I just don't waste my time.
And it becomes dense. Yeah.
Yeah.
It becomes really dense. See, and I. What's that?
We eat lots of white rice now.
We're like huskies.
I get it. Yeah, that was my go-to with when I just didn't want to start keep eating bread because I'm diabetic. And. Yeah. And, you know, having to, and I would love to have someone, you know, or be able to make bread with like almond flour or something, you know, something different where it doesn't have like the super high carbs, but like, nah, not that.
Check out Debbie's Bakery here in Colorado. They do ship.
Dude. And she does. Wow. Hell yeah.
Check it out. And if that doesn't work, let me know. I'll message you some other options.
Sure. Dude, that's awesome. Thank you.
I need to fill your belly. That makes me sad.
Yeah. Oh. All right. So another question is, overall, do computers save you time or waste your time?
Depends on how I want to use it that day.
Yeah.
I can either be super productive or I can absolutely blow 8 hours like it's nothing.
Yeah, we're both tech kids. Like we both work in tech and we're both PC gamers. Oh god, that term sounds so bad. I'm like I'm a PC gamer. No, lots of World of Warcraft back in the day before Mists of Pandaria, because let's not talk about that subject. Not going to go into it. I'm just saving.
I am the worst gamer type.
Okay.
I am a retro gamer only.
No, and that's great. That's great because, PCs will suck your soul and your life out of you, especially if they're like MMOs. Like, just don't do it.
Oh, yeah. And
don't do it.
Oh, yeah. I know people who have, I know people who have, went like broke on that shit.
Yeah.
Like with all like the online purchase shit.
Yeah.
And it's like that's a real thing. That's as bad as the gambling, like fucking Gamblers Anonymous type shit. You know, the people who spend fucking 26 hours a day at a casino, you know. Fucking
dopamine kick. It's just the same as any other addiction. It is a dopamine kick. And once you kind of get locked into that, if you have either genetically or just personality wise, you do have any kind of addiction issues, anything that'll give you a dopamine kick like that is just, you're going to spiral. And it's human. It is absolutely human because raw dogging this fucking planet is awful. Like, no one wants to do this completely fucking without any vice. I get it. I'm not judging, but it's just as bad. And I've seen friends go down some really dark paths and a lot of them made it out. I'm really proud of them, but I almost went down that about 10 years ago when I retired from competitive snowboarding and moved out of the mountains, moved back into the city, you know, before I really started focusing on music. Yeah, I was going down that route real quick, boy.
Understandable. Hell yeah. They waste a lot of my time too. I'm on one every day. I work with auto parts, so I'm looking up car parts every day for fucking from Shade Tree Mechanics to shops to fucking a bunch of people. And
So
you know what it's about. Fucking send me do you have this water pump for this 86 Honda?
No, just burn the Honda. Let it go. Let it die.
I used to work for Pet Boys many years ago.
I'm sorry.
I remember there were times they would pay for the gas, they would pay for the time and everything, but they would toss me in my car and have me drive halfway across the city, you know, just to go pick up a freaking, you know, a belt from another location or something.
Hey, I mean, sometimes that's not bad. Just to get out for a little bit. If you're having to deal with the public all day, oh my gosh. Sometimes the mouth breathers out there are bad. Like the fucking the normie people, not the metal people that come in. Like fucking there's a hardcore wrestler that fucking lives in the city that I'm in. And and he comes in to get parts from me and I'm like, "Hey dude, what's going on?"
It's like fucking cold, fangirling this guy.
Yeah, it's like saw you on the reels on fucking on Facebook doing this fucking interview. He's like, "Oh yeah, man, we were talking about blah blah blah." It's like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
I love stuff like
that. So yeah, fucking and then obviously the fucking like the Doom Scroll shit. That's definitely a fucking waste of time. Get rid of fucking TikTok and shit for that. But anyway,
it's not worth it.
Have you ever booked a trip after getting inspired from seeing a place in a movie?
Yes. Did I actually go? No, because it was too expensive.
Lord of the Rings.
That's exactly what I was looking at. Okay. Down in New Zealand, I can't remember the exact town, but they kept the entire, they kept Bag End. Not the Shire, but Bag End.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, where Bilbo and Frodo, literally a cul-de-sac.
Because the tree is still there, but the tree is but it's fake.
Yes.
It's like it's like the Tree of Life in fucking Disney. It's fucking, it's faker than spray tan.
Yes. To be fair. Yeah, they kept all of that. They kept all of that. And I really, really wanted to go and just kind of see it. But financially, absolutely not feasible. So I was like, yeah. And this was, I was really young. I'm still in high school. So this was before, actually, it was right kind of when the internet was moving. So like 2000. Mm-hmm. So back then, you had to like contact actual online travel agencies.
Yes.
And get quotes. And so my dad's like, "If you want to do this, okay, we have to call him." We call him, and my dad's like, "Yeah, see, I told you, and I'm not paying for that." So,
yeah, that's a. I remember those days when you had to do that shit, and it's like, ugh. I couldn't, like, I remember being a kid and like wanting to see like the India jungle in like Temple of Doom. And shit like that, where they see the bats above flying above their heads and shit, and like that always looked cool. And the palace, you know, the I always wanted to run across the bridge. I really did. I hoped that it was like a real place, and actually it was. They actually did. It was a real suspension bridge. And but yeah, so I was like, that would have been wild as shit.
How about you?
I can't really say that I, you know, went to go like look into it, but I've definitely seen some movies where I've gone and I've looked up the cost of like hotels and stuff in the area, you know, just because of that one scene. I'm trying to think of one like that's a really good example. But of course, I'm on the spot, so I
can't. So now you can't.
His brain shut up.
He's, you know, Lemmy would be proud. Stage Fright. He always, you know, he had songs about his, he had a DVD called Stage Fright. He had song called Stage Fright, you know, get it. But yeah, I mean, I'm cool with that.
He's a shy boy.
He can answer this one though. Do you believe Reason of Insanity is a valid argument?
Yeah, so I'm from South Florida originally.
Say no more.
Personality type down there, and yeah, so I thoroughly believe, you know, that it is more than justifiable reason for just about anything, because I've seen some crazy shit.
You said, I'm from South Florida. I was like, oh shit, here we go. Fucking, he has seen an old man pulling a fucking dog out of an alligator's mouth while hitting it in the head with a frying pan.
Yeah, I've seen a couple videos like that.
It was so probably less than 2 weeks after the whole Miami zombie incident where the guy on bath salts ate the other dude's face. I'm driving around with a friend of mine at the time, and we see this dude walking down the street, and he looks like something out of the fucking Walking Dead. We realize, like, this dude is on those same fucking bath salts walking down the street, and I'm in the car. I'm like, now lock the doors. We're driving past this guy. We're getting the hell out of here. Face eaten by some psycho. Yeah, I mean, a lot of it was just kind of not really my thing. You know, like, I'm definitely more of a mountain man than a beach guy. I love the cold. I love the snow. I'll go outside in like 16 degree weather in a pair of shorts to take the trash out.
He literally fucking does it. Where are your shoes?
So it just, you know, it felt like it fit like a slipper, to put it simply, you know, so this feels like home, and I love it.
A metal Cinderella.
There's a lot of merit to South Florida and Miami and that whole scene too. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I can't deny that it is, you know, but it's just, I prefer this kind of fun.
Yeah, for sure. What about you, Danica? Do you believe Reason of Insanity is a valid excuse for crime?
Absolutely. So, unfortunately, in the United States, mental health is not taken fucking at all seriously. I can see the shift that we are, but access to healthcare in general,
is a game, yeah.
The brain is a literal fucking organ, you know. It can be as faulty from birth as it can be in your late 80s. So, unfortunately, when certain wires aren't crossed or aren't completely built correctly or what have you, I feel like,
to the wrong point.
Yeah, I feel like that's just, you know, your behavior is going to be whatever dictates the illness. And I've seen very, for example, like being an athlete my whole life, I've seen people take, you know, head injuries. Mm-hmm. And same. You know, you think they're okay, and then within like a month or two, they're a completely different person and they're acting out, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, getting into that, that's awesome too, because when I was going to college, before I said, you know, fuck this, I'm gonna get into auto parts and make some money.
Yeah,
and said no one fucking ever.
You said it. I know there's a lot of people. College is
College didn't work for me, but like the crazy shit that was like with it was, as you just said, like being in psychology and reading about people like Phineas Gage, who had the fucking rebar go through his skull and he lived, and this is in the 1800s. And fucking, he was a different fucking person. Or people who have car accidents and they hit their head on a steering wheel and they come back a completely different fucking person.
You know,
that's all wild stuff. And, you know, awesome for fucking modern fucking, you know, medical technology. It's weird. It's like you said, with how they don't take it seriously in this country. Yeah. The mental health. And honestly, I think in the last 20 years, I think we've done that with our elderly too. We don't take them as serious enough anymore either. And a lot of like elder services have went fucking out the door. Like, you know, you used to.
Veteran services. I mean, yeah. It's just.
It's all fucked up and crazy shit. That's why we play fucking metal. But I have one more question. But before we get to it, as always, links are listed below, so please give a like, a share, and a follow. Facebook Bandcamp, the official website, you know, boom. So do you all have any shout outs or anything else you all want to promote today?
My goodness, there's a lot going on. Okay, so as per Colorado, Will Perkins from Celestial Wizard, who is our like live second guitarist, one of our best friends, we play D&D together, he's amazing, as well as Nick Daggers in Celestial Wizard are on the album, as well as Devin Ritchie from Anubis is also on the album. But as per Colorado, there is the Mile High Power Metal Fest, which I believe Soren from Celestial Wizard, basically Celestial Wizard, put on this amazing power metal festival here in Colorado. So please, please, please check it out. Buy tickets. Fly out here. Fucking do it, because it's literally all power metal. Absolutely phenomenal festival. I'm really excited for it. That is a really big one. Lady Beast just repressed, got new artwork for their album. Holy shit, there's so much going on right now. Show and Tell just dropped their new album. There's like a laundry list.
Oh, absolutely. So I get it.
If you go to our social, any of our socials, we try and repost a lot of our friends' stuff. So if you guys are like, really want to hear more power metal or new wave of traditional heavy metal or even, you know, speed metal, just go to our socials if you don't know where to start, and we'll literally spam that shit at you in our stories. So that'll be a good place to start. But yeah, so far that's all my brain literally has. It sucks because
oh, fuck yeah. They're all friends of the show. Amy, so fuck man. Yeah.
Amy is just, yeah. Oh, and Angel Fury. Luna from Angel Fury
But also with Amy, you know, Babe Finder General, fucking the leather work that she does, fucking awesome fucking leather work. I have some. Fucking, I have a nice fucking wrist bracer that she made. Fuck yeah, she's great people. Jason, do you have anybody you want to give shout outs to?
Let me see.
We put him on the spot again.
I think I stole some from him.
Shit,
I did.
A couple, yeah. I'm an asshole. That's fine though. So yeah, definitely everybody in Celestial Wizard, they have been a massive support and help through our whole recording process, and you know, with this festival we're doing and the last show we just played too, you know, Will from Celestial Wizard has been a hero, a saint,
yeah,
a godsend, whatever you want to call him. But he's definitely been amazing. Always love shouting out the boys in Weaponizer from here in Denver, mm-hmm. too. They're always just doing really cool stuff, and they have the sweetest of shirts. So love to shout them out when I can.
Hell yeah. I need to get back out that way. It's been a while since I've been out to Colorado, so I need to go.
Well, I'll drink a beer with you.
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah.
April 27th, we're playing a benefit show.
Oh my God,
Yeah,
that's going to be a little bit too
safe by ruin.
I already have a show the 26th that I'm promoting, and that's a little bit too close to Legion for me to travel.
You're good.
No, well, but I would love to eventually. So, final question of the day.
Yeah.
Do we control technology, or is technology controlling us?
We already, what's the actual term? We already passed that back in the 90s. It was called like, where it's like, everything is already, it's sentient. We are already past the point of sentient. And at this point, we need to start fucking respecting it, because Terminator is going to happen. You yell at Siri one more fucking time, she will burn your house down in the next five years.
Hey, don't say that. Don't say that. She's connected to me right now.
Yep. Damn, I've got several in the room with me right now.
Just treat them like people at this point. Like,
always say please.
Don't be a dick. Don't be a dick. Stop. Yeah. Don't do this.
Don't tell Siri to fucking lick you or suck your dick, because she's recording that shit. And no, the fucked up thing is, like, you know, the Simpsons always predict shit.
So does South Park.
And there was an episode I remember seeing where fucking, like, it was like, I think it was one of the Treehouse of Horrors. And the very end of the episode is like, iPhones with fucking earbuds, fucking like whipping the fucking people of Springfield with the earbuds. And it's just like being a slave to the fucking phone and shit. And it's like, oh God.
Technology where now it's starting to cross over from The Simpsons into Futurama is calling a lot of this.
Yeah.
And like,
oh yeah.
A lot of the stuff that they show, like when they did their iPhone way back in the day where they like jam it into your eyeball.
Yes.
A lot of things I've watched that episode recently. There's a lot of things I was like, oh, holy shit, that's actually like happened now or is happening currently. Yeah. And it's crazy.
The funny thing is all of the retroactive shit that had happened in the show that they wrote before it had happened. Yeah. Like, you know, when they were, where they were foreshadowing shit. And it was like shit like from the year 3000. He's like, no, in such and such, this happened. And fucking, it was like an episode of fucking like before it even happened in fucking real life.
Yeah.
And that shit.
I went and bought a Tamagotchi at this point. I'm learning to nurture my.
The next digital overlord?
Yes.
Please don't. Everyone, welcome our robot overlords.
Dude, and you know, the funny thing is everybody hated the. Everybody hates Metallica now. But, like, the Spit Out the Bones song is totally, the video is totally that. The digital fucking overload. You know, the digital overlords fucking.
Yeah. Rush definitely. Rush called it. We didn't listen to Rush. Nobody took Rush seriously, and here we are.
No. Right. With fucking 2112. Fucking, yes, absolutely. Which, you know, The Fountainhead by Ayn Rand. Ugh. If you like to be bored to death, read it. it's okay. All right, so what are we going to play out today from you all?
I'm going to let you say it.
Oh, all right, I'll say it then. So let's play Hellbound on the way out today.
New song, Metal Archives, Hellbound, yeah. He's not doing it.
This world is over. dead.
You took everything!
It's too easy. But if you want her...
Come and get her!
Mortal!
Your reign ends now, and I will have my vengeance, witch!
In 2017, one man's vision and passion for all things metal started out as a record store in his house. Years later, the fight against a mainstream empire continues as Shade Beast. An independent metal collective and online store based in Athens, Georgia, is the world's premier heavy metal brand for music heads that value authenticity over the mainstream acceptance. Featuring original t-shirts from some of the best underground artists, as well as stickers, posters from the Shade Beast Presents concert series. Unique, one-of-a-kind collectibles and small curated selection of vinyl and cassettes from the masters old and new. Visit ShadeBeast.com and enter promo code SITHLORD for free domestic shipping on your first order, whether you're a new customer or returning. And be sure to join the Shade Beast social groups on Facebook and the interwebs to keep up with the new release announcements and talk all things metal and Star Wars. You'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to the night. You think you know Night Demon? Then the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast is for you. Step into the darkness as we peel back the curtain to give you an unprecedented, all-access look into the mind and the heart of the demon. We're talking band history, song analysis, studio anecdotes, stories from the road. It's everything a diehard Night Demon fan could want and more. This is the only place to learn the inside scoop, the deep dive trivia, the untold tales from the band members themselves and those closest to the Night Demon story. Need more? The sacred Night Demon crypt will be pried open to reveal demo recordings that have never before seen the light of day, all with in-depth commentary by the band and the people who were there for the writing and recording process. This is a gold mine, a treasure trove of all things Night Demon. Head over to nightdemon.net. or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Since 2013, there has been a calling from the underground, from the graves of all those unholy, and they decided to make a zine to talk about all of this. Soul Grinder Zine, an independent metal zine to keep you informed on all things metal and horror from the underground. Available in both print and digital formats, they're bringing you the best interviews and reviews out there today. Not only do they do the zine, but they also do compilation CDs. Check them out at facebook.com/soulgrinder.zine and start your subscription now. Hey everybody, let me tell you about the new sponsor to the Metal Forge, Unchained Tapes. They're an independent Pennsylvania tape label. They focus on extreme metal and punk with a killer approach to the tape scene. Visit their web store at unchainedtapes.bigcartel.com now to get your fill of tapes. And for being a Metal Forge listener, enter the code METALFORGE10 at checkout to get a 10% discount on your total purchase. That's unchainedtapes.bigcartel.com. BigCartel.com.
What's up, Metal Forge fans? This is Alan Bishop, the alchemist of Indiana's Black Forest and head distiller at Spirits of French Lick. Do you find yourself drawn to the unexplained, fascinated by the Fortean, or enchanted by the paranormal? If the things that go bump in the night resonate in your mind, then tune into my brand new podcast, If You Have Ghosts, You Have Everything. Featuring firsthand accounts, collected stories, interviews, history, and speculation related to all things not of this world. Available now on Anchor, Spotify, Google, Amazon, and more. Set back, relax, and remember, if you have ghosts, you have everything.
Hey, let me tell you guys about Mercenary Press. They're an independent London label and distributor of all things metal. Mercenary Press delivers the goods from their own independent zine. Trust me, you're going to want to get in on that. To distributing various bands from all over the world, including Cramp from Spain and Sadistic Force from Texas. Visit mercenarypress.bigcartel.com to find out what all they have in stock and what you can order. And for Metal Forge listeners, enter code METALFORGE10 to receive a discount on your total purchase at mercenarypress.bigcartel.com. Check it out now. Hey Metalheads, it's with great pleasure I get to tell you guys about a new sponsor to the Metal Forge, Ageless Art, New Albany. After 20 years of owning and operating Ageless Art in Clarksville, Indiana, Phil Garrett had a vision for a new type of tattoo studio. Something that is clean and modern, sleek, refined, inviting. And he's done just that with Ageless Art in New Albany. You can find it at 2736 Charlestown Road, New Albany, Indiana, 47150. Business hours are Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Sundays are 12 to 6. All sessions are appointment only, so give them a call and go get you some new ink. Or if it's your first time, go get your first one, baby.